Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to Pure Hustle Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. We do have a request though before we get started. If you have found our content to be entertaining or helpful, would you consider leaving us a review on iTunes? Those 5-star reviews really help to make sure that our content gets out there and that our show continues to grow.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
This is Orlando, and we're on episode 384, an update episode.
Yeah, that's right, 384, and it's kind of exciting because it's kind of a weird thing happening right now. We're recording this right before we record our live on Monday. So if you're listening to the podcast right now and you haven't yet come over to our Monday mini-sodes and subscribe there, now is the time to subscribe because Orlando and I have started, at least for now, we're going live on Mondays. So if you want to check out some live content and get to interact with us in the comment section, it's a ton of fun. So I'm speaking about the past, but I'm speaking about something that hasn't happened yet. So I'm sure we're going to have a ton of fun on our live. They're always a ton of fun. So make sure to come on over so you don't miss our next Monday mini live. They're fantastic. We love to interact with you. But today is our update episodes, and we love the update episodes because it's our chance to kind of tell you all what we're doing reselling wise, our ups and downs, and we're always very real with that. Along with, it's our opportunity to kind of talk about what's going on in the reselling world. And this is, I think, one of the things that kind of sets us apart is we don't just talk about, you know, tips and bolos and what sold, but we kind of try and talk about the big macro and micro level things about what's going on with reselling. So definitely make sure to stay tuned till the end because we do have those sweet bolos that come up. But yeah, Orlando, how are things going, man?
Oh, such a loaded question. And it's interesting because as we were putting together the notes, I was like, I don't want to get too much into, you know, kind of how, not that sales are slow. Sales are great. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But the flooding that happened, you know, last update episode, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought, you know, I had a little flood in the living room, garage, one of my other rooms, and I had inventory in the garage and I had inventory in the other room. But luckily I had shelves and things were elevated, so I didn't have a lot of damage, but it was still a mess to move everything. Well, there's a few things I've learned from this, and hopefully this is something that others can figure this out. One, at least in San Diego, whether you have homeowner's insurance or renter insurance, flood is not covered unless you specifically lay it out. And I didn't know that. You know, I thought, you know, there's this thing called apparel, P-E-R-I-L. And I guess it doesn't fall under apparel when you get flooded. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And so luckily none of my stuff got damaged. I had a few things that wet, but I was able to dry it out. I had some rugs that I still need to sell from last summer, those very expensive rugs. But I was able to dry those out and everything was fine. And, you know, I am thankful I'm renting. I know a lot of people will say you're better off owning a home. But at this moment in time, you know, I don't have to pay for the electricity that's running during this time. My landlord has been great about that because we've been having fans and dehumidifiers running 24 hours a day for about a week. And then there's some demolition going on starting tomorrow. And they're going to, you know, tear up the floor because they believe that it's wet underneath. And we might have to tear off the floor everywhere. Like, it's just going to be a huge mess. And so I'm kind of grateful that I don't have to deal with the headache of financing all that. And so my landlord has been great about that. And, you know, it's also been a lesson of staying organized. If I was not organizing my inventory, my business would have been shut down. And luckily, through all this, I haven't put my store on vacation. I haven't changed my handling time. Every single item that I've had to relocate has been, you know, in a bin or a tote with this custom SKU number, and I've been able to find things right away, which I'm kind of impressed because years ago when I was reselling, it was not that way. And so that's one thing. Number one, make sure your insurance, if you are worried about flooding, which no one in San Diego ever thought they needed insurance for flooding. Okay. So make sure you check that out. Number two, make sure you stay organized. And number three, you know, always have a plan if, you know, if things go south, if you can't work, if you can't figure things out, because there are other resellers in the San Diego area that right now it's pretty rough. You know, I've been talking to Latin Pickers, our good friends of the podcast, and they lost, you know, several Gaylords just full of books, just destroyed, you know, a third of, you know, a big, I don't know if it was a third, I don't know how much it was, a big portion of the Royal House got flooded. And so they've been pretty much out of work for the last week and a half. They haven't been able to process stuff. And luckily, you know, they're smart guys and they have things in place that they can still kind of be mobile a little bit. And they have, you know, obviously reserves in case anything happens. But you just never know. You just never know. And, you know, we're talking about, we've talked about all kinds of different scenarios from 2020 to, you know, we had an episode where we talked about an EMP, all these different things. But it's always good to just, I know we were joking about that, but it's always good to think through, you know, what would happen if I couldn't do eBay for a week or I couldn't do Amazon for a week? And it just had me thinking about that. Now, the other side of it, now I'm looking at how can I reorganize things now? Now that everything is a mess, I have inventory in my hallway. I have inventory in the podcast room. I have inventory in my living room. There's stuff everywhere because I had to clear out space for demo to take place. And so, you know, always be aware that, So despite all that, sales have been really good. And I want to say it has to do with, I eventually came to a place where I'm like, I'm going to have to change things up. I can't keep, you know, doing the same old, same old. And so I'm sourcing different. And it's interesting because we did a whole episode with Wayne from K-Way Shop. And we'll talk about that in a moment because I think there's some good reflections that come out of that interview. I don't pick up clothes anymore. I am picking up a lot of collectibles, a lot of vintage toys, a lot of vintage like books and so on. Not like vintage books, but kind of like manga and stuff like that. I'm going down that road more, and I find that there's a greater sell-through rate, and I've been selling a lot more. Now, it has been a lot more volume. So, for example, you know, I did sell a football jersey for $100. I sold another football jersey for $120, and that was nice because I only paid $4 or $5 for those. And selling these vintage toys, I'm selling, you know, $20 a year, $30 a year, so I have to sell a lot more, but I'm okay with it because it's been really easy, especially due to this whole flood. I haven't had to use my huge light box. I can just go one of the smaller light boxes, go anywhere, and I can, you know, process 20 to 30 lists a day because the pictures are easy. If things sell, it's really easy to pack and to ship. And so I've changed my model a little bit. I've moved away from clothing, shoes. I've moved away from not sourcing as much shoes. I used to, when I went into a store, I used to go to shoes first, and then I go to the clothing. When I went to a thrift store and I go wherever. Now I start off in the hard goods section, in the toy section, and then I make my way back. So it's been a shift, but I think that shift has helped my business to pick up. It's been successful. I have actually better numbers now than I had during Q4. And I don't know if it's, you know, you never know with eBay. Is it me? Was it that eBay fixed some glitches? Is it now that people are looking for toys after, you know, Q4? I don't know what it is, but things have improved. And then, along with that, you know, I've been going back to the thrift, and I find, again, I've said this before, you know, it's good. It's good. Now, shout out to Emily the other day, one of our listeners. I walked out of the thrift. I went to start my car, and my car was dead because I left the lights on because it was raining. And you drive, you know, with your lights on. And she was willing to help me out. Unfortunately, all my jumper cable stuff, and I also have one of those portable jumpers. It was all in my son's car. Actually in my car, but we switched cars because I had to take my car to the mechanic and I had his car. But she was willing to stand there with me and wait as I looked for jumper cables inside the thrift store. Didn't find any. And eventually she left. But, you know, I understood. I mean, how long are you going to wait? You know, she could have been there another hour. So shout out to you. Thank you so much for helping me out. And eventually I got the jump and I was able to get home. So right now I'm kind of in this place where I got to roll with the punches. You know, I had, like I said, I had one car. That ended up, yeah, you know, has a misfire in the engine, and I got that fixed. Then my son's car's check engine light came on. Then the flooding. Then, you know, you just keep getting hit. And I would say reselling is not for the weak. You know, you gotta ride the roller coaster, and sometimes you just gotta keep moving forward because there's nothing else you can do. You can sit there, you can wallow, you can be depressed. You can blame everything. You can blame the macroeconomic reasons, which there is some validity to that. You can blame anything you want, but the reality is it's all on you, and you got to make things happen. And fortunately, when I started with that you know, incentive to get better. Then we had the interview with Wayne, and that kind of was an encouragement to me that, you know, if he's making it happen, I can make it happen again. I actually texted Wayne. I said, hey, just to let you know, it's kind of crazy the fact that your interview motivated me, even though you've said you've listened to the podcast for a while. But I had a great time talking with you. And, you know, this is why we kind of switch things up, too. And so, anyways, that is my update. How are things for you, Mike?
Nice. Man, I'm sorry about the flooding there. That's frustrating. I saw my wife's been showing me things on social media about, you know, pictures and things coming out of San Diego, and definitely seems wild. I mean, because you guys just had, like, the week before there was another big rain. So pretty crazy. I mean, I'm glad I avoided it because I hate rain. But at the same time, you know, I've had some flooding, dealt with like minor flooding and big rains in San Diego, and it's not fun. It's not fun for anybody anywhere. But like you said, if you're not used to it, it's even worse. So man, sorry about that. But yeah, things are going pretty good. You reminded me when you mentioned selling clothing and your light box. I kind of was thinking about that a little bit. So our conversation with Wayne got me kind of looking at, you know, specifically I looked up, you know, Polo Ralph Lauren shirts, and then I started looking up a couple of other various things that he sells. Some, you know, I watched some of his videos, what he's picking up. I'm like, okay, let me look up this brand. Let me just do my own research. The way we've talked about doing research, one of my favorite ways of doing it is you go on Google, you put in sold, and you kind of filter. I try not to, you know, do the most extreme examples.
You go on eBay? Like,
what did I say?
You said you go on Google.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I go on eBay. I check for the sold comps on, you know, whatever brand I'm looking for. And specifically, I'm looking for like those middle of the road kind of bread and butter sales. Like what's selling consistently? What do they have in common? And one of the things I noticed on a lot of the ones that were selling, like, really well, like high brands that were moving quickly, were that the pictures weren't just like light box, infinite white, you know, perfect white backgrounds, like we've, you know, been told in the past was eBay's model, and they've kind of shifted away from that. And there's been some discussion in our Discord even with some people saying, you know, hey, I've looked at this really successful reseller. I've looked at their store, what they're doing. And when they take clothing pictures, they're not doing the white background. They're putting it on the ground. They're putting it here. And so, you know, and they're not even putting in measurements. And a lot of the ones I was seeing that, you know, seemed like a really easy thing to do was just like carpet, and specifically like a solid color, like gray carpet. And you could tell it was carpet, and just a shirt laying on it, kind of stretched out, maybe with a picture of measuring tape on one of them going across the chest or something. And again, none of the measurements like put into the description. It was,
but
just
it's
like
still
pictures.
In the picture, though.
It's in the pictures. Just a quick throw the measurement over, yeah. Take some pictures. And it's, to me, it's like the, I've been, one of the things that has been holding me back for listing, because I have like a ton of Hawaiian shirts that I think are going to sell pretty well. I know that market has kind of died in some areas, but I have some good ones. And I don't currently have a place to hang them up. In my old place where I took pictures, I had a white like paper that I'd pull down. I don't really have a space for that now. And so I'm like, okay, where in my house? I'm not going to leave it up. So that means that I need to consistently set this thing up and then take it down. I don't have space for a big light box. But then I'm like, man, this is really easy. They just laying this on some carpet. So I could go to Home Depot. I could go to Big Five or Big Lot, not Big Five, Big Lots, or, you know, whatever place that has some carpet, get a solid color carpet that I can just roll up, roll out, put it on the ground, maybe have two or three different ones in case you have different color patterns. Like, okay, gray works for a lot of them. But if I have a gray shirt, then I have a black one, or I've got a white one or something. And it's a little bit easier than dealing with paper, because the white papers that I've used, or I've even used white canvas in the past, they get dirty so quickly. And then that, I feel like, messes your pictures up more. So I'm like, man, if it's just as simple as rolling out this carpet, maybe on my kitchen table or on the floor, throwing the shirt down, throwing the pants down, taking the picture, that removes one of the big hurdles that I have currently, mm-hmm. with listing clothes. And I'm sure that would remove the hurdle for a lot of other people too. So just to maybe encourage people that, if you're kind of still stuck in that it has to be perfectly in a photo box, I don't think that's necessarily the model that eBay pushes. And if somebody's looking for something, like if I'm looking for a pair of Piranha pants and I know what size I want and I know what, you know, what cut I want and all of that, if I see one that's taken in a photo box and I see one where it's just laying on a piece of carpet, but I could see, okay, there's no stains, there's no, I'm not going to care. And I don't think a lot of our buyers care either if it's the right price. So I'm interested in giving that a shot. That's just kind of a side note on what I was thinking. So that's one thing. Another thing is, Orlando, believe it or not, but I got my taxes done.
That is insane. And
it's wild, right?
We were just talking about it like the other day. Like you hadn't even completed them, or maybe you did, but that's wild. Okay, before we talk about that, just can we stop on the photo booth thing? So
yeah, go for it.
It was interesting that you brought that up to discussion in Discord, because I want to make sure everybody understands that, yes, you don't put measurements in the description, but they're still in the pictures, right? Because we had some individuals in Discord test it out. They're like, oh, this one guy doesn't do measurements. And sure enough, like they got like 5 messages within 3 days. What are the measurements on this? And they quickly were like, yep, I'm going to start putting measurements, whether it's in the picture description. So make sure you do that. But I do think, you know, the white background, it depends on what you're selling. But I agree with you. Things have changed. I think part of it, too, is it's more important to have 20 listings that maybe it's on, you know, a rug or something, than having 5 good listings with white infinity backgrounds. Does that make sense? And so, yep. You know, the more listings, the more activity you have, the better. And yeah, I agree with you. If people see a good deal, they want that good deal. So, yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because we were pushing on that forever, and now I think things have kind of shifted. All right, taxes. So yep. What got you motivated? What you know, you're on top of it, man.
Yeah, well, a couple of reasons. One, my wife is pretty type A, which is very useful for our marriage. I've become more and more organized, focused, checklists, all of that. I've had to force myself to be organized. But, you know, I know my wife and I know our marriage, and those types of things like loom over her head. And so as, you know, being a good husband, when she's like, oh, did you get all the tax paperwork? It's like, once I have it, I'm going to get it done. Right. And so we decided to carve out an afternoon and evening, and we got all of our ducks in a row, and we got it done, you know, and having all of the tools that we, you know, utilize, you know, whether it's My Reseller Genie, whether it's, you know, just keeping track on our own, you know, documents, MyLIQ, all the different things that we have was very useful. And this isn't simple taxes. I mean, any of our listeners kind of understand, if you're doing reselling, that your taxes are more complicated. But in addition to that, you know, we have the podcast. There's a little bit of revenue that comes from that. It's not an insane amount of revenue, but it's enough revenue that it has to be reported. We report it to the IRS, you know, because that's just what we're supposed to do, which means then again, that's one more thing where you got to, okay, you know, what were my expenses? What equipment did I purchase? What software am I paying for? And so just all of those things adds another layer. My wife also has kind of a side hustle that she does with a homeschool program. And so she gets a 1099 for that. And so it wasn't just one, I've got to do my eBay, right? It was eBay, it's podcast, it's my wife's 1099 on top of a regular W-2, and I moved jobs and I bought a house and we had another kid. So like, you know, I don't know if you've ever used TurboTax, but when you use TurboTax, it always starts to like, let's see if anything's changed. And there's like a whole list of things. And I think I clicked all of them but one, right? Every single day was like, yep, I moved. Yep, I got a new job. Yep, I bought a house. So I had another kid, right? So all of those things, like it added extra layers. But I tell you what, getting that done and having that out of the way is such a relief for a couple of reasons. One, it's not hanging over your head anymore. And one of the things I talk about a lot on the podcast, and I think it's so true, is getting things done and having stuff, like being in an environment that's conducive for working, is going to, one, make it so you're more willing to work. And two, it makes just the working and the normal day-to-day life stuff you have easier. So for instance, right here in this studio that I'm in, you know, my garage, I've got a green screen behind me, but behind my green screen, I've got inventory. I've got my table set up where I take pictures of items. I got inventory on my other side. I've got a toolbox of stuff over here. I've got stuff everywhere. And I knew I was going to be recording today. And so this weekend, I spent an extra 20, 30 minutes just getting everything nice and clean, organized. Because when I walked out here to record, I just felt better. It's like, okay, I can record. But then there's times when I come out here and it's a little bit messy because I've been listing things and I haven't put the light box down. I haven't put inventory away. And you just feel it, you know? Yeah. And so taxes is one of those things. And so I highly encourage all of our listeners. I know that there may be instances, like if you owe and you know you're going to owe, I suggest getting all your paperwork done, everything in order, and then wait to the last minute to pay. Like, obviously you don't want to pay early. You don't want to do all of that stuff. You want to keep your capital. However, if you know, like, I would rather know than just be thinking, because that was the other thing too, is hanging over both of our heads, my wife and I, was how much are we going to owe? Are we going to owe? maybe would we get something back this year? And so as we're trying to plan things like, hey, we could actually use another shed for eBay. eBay's doing really well right now. Should we pull out the eBay money to get this shed? And it's like, well, how do you think taxes are going to be? Do you think how much do you think we're going to owe? Should we pull some? So just by knowing those numbers, whether or not you owe, whether you're getting anything back. So I highly recommend people, if they haven't done their taxes yet, get it done. Don't push it off too much. Because even if you say, okay, I'm going to push it off another month, I got an extension, it still looms over you. It's still every day you're thinking like, oh, I got to do my taxes soon. I got to do my taxes soon. So Orlando, this is me preaching to you also.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The only reason I wait is I will not do my taxes unless I have everything squared away, unless I have my mileage down, my deductions down, every single bit, every single dollar I can keep from the government taking from me, I will keep. And so I wait, I do my due diligence. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. I'm willing to even pay the interest if I owe, because it's worth it to me, because my number will be a lot lower if I wait. But yeah, if you're not like Orlando and you're organized, you should be able to get it done right away. And I appreciate you talking about taxes. We don't get too much into taxes. By the way, this isn't financial advice or tax advice. But I will say this. There's a certain feeling in the reselling community, especially if you're brand new, that you need to get a tax preparer, somebody that's done reselling taxes before, like that they have vast experience. And I'm telling you, that's not the case. And the reason it's not the case is because reselling is like any other business, right? You're buying inventory, you're selling inventory, right? You have fees to pay, you have tax to pay. Every other business has that, right? And now it may not be the same, but you also have mileage in every other business that you do. You also have deductions. It's all the same. And what I found sometimes is that it's actually better to get somebody that is not necessarily reselling inclined, because they have a lot of clients that have real like huge businesses. And so they know about every single deduction that you can get, and you end up with a better tax return. Because I've talked to other resellers that have stayed really focused, and they're like, I'm only going to go to this person because this person's only done e-commerce. And I'm like, well, it's not like 1999 and, you know, Yahoo Auctions has just come out. Like, this has been around for a while. But I'm glad. No, I appreciate the motivation. I have considered doing my taxes by April. What I'm hoping for is that because of the flooding, we'll get an extension again like we did last year, and I'll be good until October. So that's my thought.
Yeah, that's possible. But again, you're just robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Just pushing that back as far as time-wise.
No,
but you're right. You want to have all of your ducks in a row. But yeah, other than that, reselling-wise, actually been really good. I've been relatively consistent with my listings, but the sales have been, I feel like they've just been coming in really, really well. We've had one of the best months I've had in a long, long time. I was kind of discouraged a little bit looking at my 2023 numbers. They were definitely down, but it was one of the craziest years of my entire life. Like, it's going to go down in the history books as one of the wildest years for Mike. And so I'm not surprised, but it's nice. You know, even talking to Wayne K-Way Shop about, you know, his 130K in 130 days, knowing the exact number he needs for each day, how that's useful. And that's one of the things I've done this year is I'm giving myself a ramp, like lead in time to where I want to be. But I've given myself a hard deadline about which month I need to make how much money per month, which means I need to make average how much money each week, which means done the math, how many listings do I need to sell? Okay, so let's use my previous data that I have. How many listings do I need to make in order to assume that I'm going to be making X number of sales? So that what I've done is that I've given myself some hard deadlines and seeing that it's working, right? Like, okay, I'm week three into this ramp up to where I want to be, and I'm on track, right? I'm getting the listings I need to get done. I'm getting the sales I need to get done. And that's one of those things that, again, just an encouragement to people. If you're at a place where you say, hey, I'm just going to resell, cool. You know, maybe you do good, maybe you do bad. But if you're at a place where you say, I need to make $1,000 a month, I need to make $3,000 a month, I need to make whatever that number is for you to do all the things you need to do, then you have something specific. You know, you say, okay, well, if I need to net $1,000 a month, then based off of the type of goods I sell, I need to be selling maybe $1,500 or $2,000 worth of goods, which means I need to be listing. If my average cost of good is this, you know, so you have those numbers and you can kind of figure that out, which then gives you a hard, hey, did I list my 37 items this week? Because that's the number I need in order to be moving in this direction. Mm-hmm. And then there's no surprise if it's working or not. And the nice thing is, if it doesn't, if your numbers are off and you realize like, man, I'm hitting all the numbers I set for myself as far as how many listings, how many items selling, how many items I'm sourcing, but I'm still coming in 13% under what I need, then you know you need to ramp up by 13%. So it's having those specific numbers are really useful. And I think that's kind of what differentiates a hobby reseller who's just like, yeah, I find items that are cool. I put them up and when they sell great. And somebody who's doing it more as an actual side hustle where it's like, I need an extra $500 a month to pay my car payment. And somebody who's going full time. And again, even businesses, like even there's not a business that I can imagine that's a Fortune 500 business that isn't setting hard goals. By quarter four, we need to sell X amount of product. We need to get X amount of new clients. And then they have something to work for. So it's just encouraging to see that as I'm doing that, I'm getting those sales. The sales are coming in. It's cool seeing things go. I tell you what, though, I have a little bit of PTSD. Maybe I shouldn't use that phrase lightly. I know it's more serious than that I'm giving
you
credit
fears.
Here. But I have legitimate like minor trauma from when an item sells of, I know I saw that before I moved, but was that one of the items I threw away? Because yeah. I had one item I threw away that I didn't unlist that I found so far. I have unlisted every other item that I threw away or that I donated or that I sold at a swap meet. But one of the first items that sold when I moved to Texas was one of the items that somehow didn't make it off of eBay. And so now every time an item sells, instantly my mind goes to, have I seen that since I've moved or not? Like, did it make the move? And so every time it's almost like this emotional roller coaster. Yes, I got a sale. Have I seen that item? And then when I find it, I'm like, oh, thank goodness it was here. Yeah, so no. Yeah, it's been a trip.
And you know, it always hits me when people start talking numbers. Cause I will tell you, I am a hobby reseller. Even though I'm full time, I'm still a hobby. Now, have I done better year after?
No. I wouldn't say hobby. Hobby, I would look at hobby as like you're just doing it for fun.
Yeah, but I'm not.
That's how I would define
it. I am. Well, yeah, but that's me. I mean, yes, I do it for a living, but I do it for fun. Like I'm not, I don't look at my taxes and go, you know what? I'm going to hit 13% more. And a lot of people right now probably have turned off the podcast. But I've always said, I'm here to document this journey. I'm not here to teach anybody. Yeah, I can teach because of my experience and what I know, but I'm not the guru. I'm not the guy that'll say, if you sell 40 thingamabobs, you know, every single day, then you need to be listing 40 thingamabobs. And then you need to, at the same time, make sure that you promote here. And if you do all these things, well, A plus B will equal, you know, profit. I'm not that guy. I'm kind of the reseller that I figured out a way to find profitable items. I make enough to pay the bills. And sometimes I do better than other months. And I have scaled. I mean, I haven't necessarily tracked it, but, you know, I scale in the fact that, you know, I'm living in a far better place than when I started reselling. You know, I can give you all the materialistic reasons, but things are better. Let's put it that way. And, you know, I've been able to travel and all these things, but I do think, If somebody wants to be serious, like if they want to scale, they got to do numbers. And that's why I appreciate those resellers that are able to do the numbers, because I think there's all kinds of different YouTubers out there with different angles into reselling. I consider myself a picker. I like highlighting the stuff I find and the joy that I take in finding those items and listing them and so on. And so, which is good. You bring balance to the force here, Mike, into the podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that I'm the part-time way less serious as far as how many items I'm selling on a consistent basis, and I'm more business minded on that. And you need it, man. If you don't make the sales, man, you're not eating. But you're a little bit more laissez-faire about
it. But it forces you, knowing, I mean, look at me, come on now. Forces me knowing that I'm not going to eat, that I better make things happen. And so I make things happen, you know. I get out there, I source, I list. You know, I make those connections, I make those deals. Hey, and we just spent this whole time talking about taxes. So before we move on to our random stories, I want to discuss my reseller, Genie. Wait, Mike, we have not announced our winner for January. We need to announce
the winner.
We can't do it right now, though, but we'll make sure that by next week we'll announce. We have not forgotten. There also will be a winner for February. And you're wondering, what am I talking about? Well, if you haven't heard our podcast before, My Reseller Genie is a great, great tool that you can use for your taxes. So, for example, a lot of people use spreadsheets. My Reseller Genie takes care of all of that. They transfer all the data from eBay, all your fees, all your shipping and everything. You also have an ability to track your inventory, how much you spent, how much it sold for, and so on. And so you can use our code, Pure Hustle. Go to the link below, and you'll get 15% off the first month. But our contest is you can get a free month of My Reseller Genie. And for this month, you need to leave a comment. And in your comment,
Wait, But before yes. you get crazy about the how, like what needs to be in the comment, can't it just be a comment? Can't we just open it up? Like, leave any comment. Like, we love to read anything to say.
So for February, it's free February, okay? So any comment that you leave in free February will enter you into the contest. Last month, it was you had to share something that you were glad to get rid of during Q4. And so we will announce next week. I'll make sure to put it in our notes. We just, you know, I'm gonna blame the flooding for me forgetting about that. But it will happen. It will happen, okay? So check out My Reseller Genie. Use our code PUREHUSTLE in the link below. Get 15% off the first month. So random story. So, wow, I'm looking at your stuff. It sounds interesting. Mine is interesting because I'm always amazed at the people that I meet when I make local deals. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So what I've realized with local deals is that people are not only are buyers flakes, but sellers are flakes too. In the sense that, like, somebody might list something like on Facebook Marketplace or OfferUp or whatever, and they'll list it. And you'll message them and they may not get back to you. And sometimes that may mean move on. For me, it's like I'm going to keep contacting them until they tell me it's sold or I get the notification that it's sold. And it's not like I contact them every day. I'll wait a week and then I'll give it another week. And what's happened is whenever I do that, I end up getting the item because people, whenever they get the message, either A, they're looking for somebody else. They're looking for somebody else to offer them more. Or, you know, at that moment, they have something going on in life. And so they're like, I don't want to hassle with it. And so I had, you know, the same experience happen here. There was this set of 007 James Bond. I shared this in my IG stories. They're James Bond role-playing games. And, you know, they sell. They're a little bit slower sellers. They're not great sell-through rate. But, you know, the price I was going to get them at, it was fine. And so I had messaged them like a month ago, didn't hear back. Messaged them 2 weeks ago, didn't hear back, you know. And I messaged them, I think, one more time. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't mean to bother. I see that these are still listed. Maybe you're looking for someone else. But just to let you know, I'm willing to buy these. You know, just, you know, contact me if it's still available. So I don't hear anything. Crickets for 2 weeks. Out of nowhere, Saturday morning, when it's raining and I can't go to garage sales, I get a voicemail. And the voicemail was like, hey, Orlando, sorry it took me a while to get back to you. You know, there's 11 people that wanted these items, but you were constantly contacting me and you are now number one. You know, come on by. And so I called them back. I set it up and I'm like, oh, my persistence paid off. I show up and it's in this industrial park in San Diego. And, you know, the guy's like, let me open the gate. I go back there. And I go, wow, so is this your business? He's like, no, these are just some of my storage areas where I just throw in my toys and whatever that's in there. I was like, what? Like, what? Like, because property is not cheap in San Diego. It's not like I can just go buy like some commercial unit, you know? And in talking to him, I let him know. I said, hey, listen, do you have any other items? He's like, yeah, I do. I have, you know, I have so-and-so, but I didn't bring it out. And, you know, he asked me, like, what do you do? And, of course, I always share I'm a reseller. I said, well, I sell on eBay, you know, and that's how I support my family. And he's like, oh, you're perfect. You're exactly what I'm looking for. He's like, I have all these friends that have these collections now, and they're kind of done with them. I know a guy that has all these video games, and, you know, he wants them to go to a person that knows how to sell them and will sell them and get them to good homes. I know another guy that if he wants to write a check and buy several million-dollar cars, a garage full, he can do that. And he has a huge collection of old Hot Wheels. And I was like, what? What is going on? And, you know, will this play out? Well, time will tell. Time will tell. But again, it's one of those, like, always network. Always network. I gave him five business cards. I said, I'm giving you five. because I'm hoping that you'll give these to at least five of your friends and that they'll reach out to me. He's like, oh, for sure. And he said, you know, I have more 007 stuff and it was given to me by another lady. And she's like, if you want them, I'll just give them all to you. And I was like, what? This is crazy. And so this is the deals I like. I always tell people, like, network, because I will say I'm not there yet, but I'm pretty close to a place that if, let's say, I couldn't go to the thrift or I couldn't go to garage sales, I have a pretty good network of people throughout San Diego that I could call or they could call me and I could still be sourcing. And that's kind of what you want, because the best deals, in my experience, come from local deals. Because in local deals, you're able to get a lot of items for super cheap. And that means less gas mileage. That means less time to source the items. And, you know, when you're sourcing those items, it's not like you're trying to hunt for that treasure. You already know there's treasure. And what I end up finding out is when I make these huge deals, I end up finding other treasures that were unexpected, right? I find a book that I didn't think was that much. It's worth a lot more. And so be aware of that. And so, again, I always love making connections. If you have not bought business cards and you're not using business cards, whenever you go to a garage sale, I'm not saying give it to everybody, but if you make a big purchase at a garage sale or you know they have other items, give them their business card. If you make a local deal, give them your business card. Whatever scenario you think will play out later on, because it will. My biggest deals ever in reselling have not come from the thrift, have not come from a garage sale. It's come after a garage sale or after the thrift, where I gave somebody something, they contacted me and they said, hey, Orlando, I know it's been 2 years since we talked, but I'm really ready to get rid of all my Harley stuff. You know, I have these Hot Wheels, I have the storage unit, and that's how the big deals come through. So that is my random story of encouragement.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I don't have actually anything super exciting. I do have, I have the Goodwill bins I've talked about here in this area, and they rebuilt the building here. It's really nice now. I mean, inside it's still like the warehouse part where you do the shopping is. I don't know what it compares to other Goodwills, but the outside of the building is really nice. And they've actually connected a separate building, it's part of the same building, but it's a separate section of the building, which is a special Goodwill, community center, as it were. And, you know, Goodwill in this area, I'd have to say, because maybe we're a little bit callous coming from San Diego, where I feel like, you know, a lot of the stuff is kind of like, I don't know. I'm not even in a small town, but I'm in a much smaller town now. And I've noticed that my district, my school district that I work for, actually partners a lot with a Goodwill for various things. And I had a training, a leadership training at my school for a program we're using. And I was able to like take half the day, not to be in the classroom and go to this training. And it was actually at that Goodwill center, right connected to the bins. So it was weird going to work at the Goodwill bins, you know? So that was like a trippy experience to me to have like both of my fields kind of overlap there for a minute. I'm not going to say whether or not I got to my work early or during my breaks I did any bin shopping. I will neither confirm nor deny that. But, you know, it was kind of just an interesting random thing that it was like, huh, how convenient, you know, that I'm at work, but also I'm at the Goodwill bins. So kind of a trip. So there's that. And just the other thing is, with all the things I've had selling recently, I have fewer boxes. There was a long time there where every single Amazon box that came, I was saving. And then I obviously have my eBay go-to boxes of various sizes. But because I hadn't been saving as many boxes and because we moved and I didn't want to move stacks and stacks of empty boxes, I don't have a lot of the miscellaneous shapes. And so one of the things that has actually been really useful for me is, you know, go to Sam's Club every week and I buy things for, it's kind of like a Costco, if you're not aware. I think more people know what Sam's Club is than Costco, but basically the same thing. But going to Sam's Club, or going to Costco and getting boxes there for various things, not the boxes that, you know, you load stuff in on your way out, but like the things that stuff come in. For instance, I get some Topo Chico carbonated waters and there's been like three items that have sold that it's been like, I don't have the right size box for this. Oh, how about that Topo Chico box?
Let's start some drama with using food and drink boxes.
Okay, so but isn't the rule you can't use alcohol boxes, right?
Yeah, I know. It's just some people believe it's like not appropriate or whatever. Like it's a faux pas.
And I, I agree to the extent of it. It doesn't make me look like the most professional business, right? But at the same time, if somebody's buying a used pair of shoes or they're buying a used, you know, piece of some technology, I think they're more willing to say like, hey, this came in a used box. It came in a diaper box. It came in a whatever. And it had eBay tape, which is another reason I love the eBay tape, because you could take any box and wrap it up in eBay tape. And yes, you're right. Like it doesn't have that like polished look at this business. You know, if I was selling 1,000 or 10,000 trading cards every year, I would have very specific boxes for those. Those would go out. It would look like my business would be more focused in that niche. But, you know, as an everything store, it's not that big of a deal, I don't think. Let us know in the comments below. What do you think? What are some of the boxes y'all use?
Hot Pocket boxes, you know.
There we go. Those might be too flimsy, though. They gotta have some.
I know. It always cracks me up when I see diaper boxes. Those crack me up too.
I've done it, man. I've done it.
No, I know. I've shipped diaper boxes
for sure.
I'm not the one to trade. I just know some people get upset about that, so I just thought it's kind of funny. So, all right, hey. So I don't have any more. I will say I am grateful for our Discord and the fact that, you know, people are constantly keeping, you know, up with everyone in there, sharing their bolos, sharing their journey there. And so if you haven't yet jumped onto our Discord, the only way to do that is by supporting us via Patreon, and it's a bonus. It's only $5.55 a month. And I've had a lot of people say, you guys should raise the price. I'm not looking forward to doing that anytime soon. The day will come eventually, but if you want to get in there and you just, you know, want to be part of a community of thriving resellers, you can sign up patreon.com/PureSoulPodcast. Or go to the link below. Also, at the same time, appreciate all of you that continue to show us support on social media. Thank you to all of you new followers that came from the Gateway Shop interview on Instagram. If you haven't been following us, we are Pure Hustle Podcast on all social media, and we are Pure Hustle Cast on Twitter. You could always give us a call too, 619-738-1170. That's 619-738-1170. Or shoot us an email at purestpodcast@gmail.com. That's purestpodcast@gmail.com. And grateful for all of you that listen to us on the podcast. If you want to jump on over to YouTube, it'd be helpful to subscribe. Hit that bell notification, especially now when we're going live on Mondays. We'd love to see you in the chat and, you know, drop some comments there. And last of all, thank you to all of you that leave us iTunes reviews. It definitely helps us out, especially in the algorithm. All right, are we ready to talk about some important things that have been taking place in the reselling world? There's a lot. Well, there's not a lot going on.
UPS and eBay laying off workers, $5 million in 9 stolen, reaction to Wayne's interview, and eBay new 90-day total. All this and more on Reseller News. All right,
so
what do we got here? The layoff,
I brought this... Okay, so it's interesting. I've been saying so a lot lately. It's been interesting, this whole discussion about layoffs. And the reason I say this is, I think, I don't know, maybe a year ago when I was talking about the Fed raising interest rates and recession and all those, you know, economic macro issues. You know, if you study economics, layoffs are like the kind of like the tail end of everything. Right. And whenever there's a declining economy, layoffs is the final breaking point until things, you know, get interesting. And, you know, for a while, we have felt that things are good and things are fine. And then, the Fed raised interest rates. And when the Fed raises interest rates, there's less money in the economy, less people are borrowing. Companies eventually start laying off people because there's less money circulating. And so it's bound to happen. And so to me, I looked at this and I'm like, is this really a result of slow sales? Because I know a lot of people in the reselling space have been sharing that, you know, eBay laid off 1,000 workers, UPS laid off 12,000. And it's another evidence of slower sales, of, you know, decline in reselling. And I'm not 100% sold on that. So let me give my two reasons and I'll let Mike chime in, because Mike always either sets the record straight or, you know, leaves us with another perspective here. So first of all, I had shared this on Instagram. I think there's a few reasons UPS is where it's at. One of them is because the higher salaries that were agreed upon with the unions. So a few months ago, they agreed to higher salaries. And now, you know, as things are getting interesting in the economy, they have to shift around that money somewhere, right? If they're not getting more revenue, they're getting the same revenue, but they have to come up with more money. Either they make more money or they have cuts. So I think that's part of it. I think another reason is USPS ground advantage. I think that dealt a huge blow to UPS. UPS didn't mention it, but if you look at it, I'm talking about just anecdotally. Myself, I hardly ever go to UPS anymore. It's very rare. Pretty much anything, as long as it's 10 pounds or under, I end up shipping USPS ground advantage. And sometimes if it's even more, I'll ship out USPS ground advantage if it's, you know, within California. And, you know, when I had posted this on social media, comment after comment after comment, I don't go to UPS anymore. You know, it may cost me a couple dollars more to ship this USPS, but the gas I save by not having to drive to UPS is worth it for me to use USPS ground advantage. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's not slower sales. Maybe it's just, you know, an effect of the economy. Maybe eBay laying off workers is because eBay had hired a ton of people in 2020 and 2021. And now, you know, obviously things have changed at eBay, but maybe there isn't a need, or maybe there's some people that say nefariously that companies lay off people and then they rehire people a few months later for half of what they're paying them or for less money. So that could be another thing. There could be a restructuring. And so I want to make sure that people in the reselling space aren't using these, you know, layoffs as an opportunity to go, well, I guess I better not worry about listing or sourcing or moving on in reselling, because you know what? This is just a sign that things are winding down and reselling, you know, definitely going to slow down and it's going to be really bad. I do think there is a role, there is a place for it, but I don't think it should be I don't want to say excuse, but it should be used to rationalize, you know, walking away from reselling or stopping what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, a fresh perspective from you on that, because a lot of times we get accused of just being the, like, let's doom and gloom it and say things are going bad, at, you know, the economy and stuff. So it is interesting and refreshing to hear you kind of saying that, like, you know, maybe there's some of that, but also there's other factors that could be at play too, you know. And that's true, is the economy is such a huge, monstrous thing that it's impossible to, like, pinpoint any one single thing to be the problem. And you know, recognizing that that's the case, and you're right. I mean, we're getting to a point in time where, you know, a whole generation, kind of that boomer generation, is like at that retiring age. The last section of the boomers are starting to retire, and so a lot of them do have, as far as companies are concerned, kind of inflated or bloated salaries because they've been at the company so long. I've worked at many companies where that happens, where it's like, hey, let's get rid of the person that's been here for 13 years because we can hire some brand new person. Maybe that's less competent, but we can pay them half as much. And so that could be an aspect to it. And so, yeah, it's like, it's hard to look at just one indicator and say, oh, you know, that's it. That's the end of reselling for us. You know, it's things are too bad. Because there's a lot of good things in our favor right now, right? Like right now, it's tax time. Like reselling always picks up around tax time. People have taxes coming in. And again, you know, bad downturn economy, people do turn to the secondary market. So I think reselling is one of those things that it's like a rubber band, right? Like you got to find, like, sometimes it expands, sometimes it retracts, or like trying to find level, like when, you know, water always finds level. And I think the economy is the same way, reselling is a good indicator of that. There's going to be times where we're trying to find level. So there's tons of excess in the market, or there's tons of need in the market and there's not enough. So it's always going to balance out at some point and in some way. And so I think if you stick to it long enough, yeah, you're going to, there's going to be some downs, but then also the benefits of the down come into effect. And then when things pick back up, well, there's benefits to things picking back up too. So you just have to adapt. You know, I think we've always kind of talked about that, the importance of adapting.
No, I agree. And again, it's not to say that things aren't slowing down or haven't slowed down for some, but again, if you're hang out with us at our next live, in our previous live that we had before this podcast dropped, we talked about that. There are some resellers that are making it happen. Wayne was a testimony of that, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But I think right now, I feel like a lot of people are looking for every excuse to say, hey, reselling is not the way to go. Reselling is not going to happen. And is it possible that now things will begin to change? And the reason I say that is, in all the research that we did, you know, that we were talking about a year or two ago, when we interviewed Craigslist Hunter, when we interviewed Amazing Taste, when we interviewed all these individuals that went through the 08 recession, they said that during the recession was when things really began to take off. And so is it possible that we're at that cusp? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. All right. So this other news story was interesting. And so a man from Memphis here in California was arrested for having $5 million in Nike shoes. And we have this discussion in the Discord sometimes. You know, is theft impacting reselling? And I will tell you, I do think it is. I think if you're doing retail arbitrage, it's a huge deal. And look at the Nike. I mean, all you need is a few people to have a few stolen goods that they're making full profit on to list those items at below the market value and sell it, and it'll tank that item, right? It'll tank the value. And so just I'm just sharing this to be careful of retail arbitrage at this moment in time. It is funny because eBay, I'm not laughing about this, but the irony that we get Vero'd for like saying Velcro in our listing, we get Vero'd for onesie, or we get counterfeit claims for vintage hats. But yet, you know, there's all this craziness happening on eBay. I don't know if you saw eBay recently had, they were fined $59 million for selling a pill, like
the pill. Yeah. Pill makers.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think there's bigger problems that they need to deal with. And maybe they probably are, but, again, just,
but how do you know, right? Like I would hate for everything we list. Cause there's times I go to a garage sale and I buy something for $5 that I can sell for $100, and the actual going rate for it is $150 or $175, but I want to move it quick. And I would hate for eBay to be like, man, you're selling a lot of things under the market. Maybe it's stolen, you know? So it's a difficult thing to like really track. So, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm all for like, if you could police the things that need to be policed and get rid of it, I'm all for that. But at the same time, you know, if there's a little bit of freedom, and if a couple of bad guys get away with doing some bad things, but it also gives 99% of us the freedom to not be harassed 24/7 about every item we've purchased, it's like, ugh, you know, it's a tough line to walk.
No, I agree. I look at this as it's a sign of the times, you know, right now how things are, where, you know, I can tell you, even on Amazon, I have several items I picked up that I'm not selling anymore, just because I can't compete. People selling, they're not only selling at wholesale, they're selling it below wholesale. So they're getting it somewhere where it's really cheap. And is it theft? I don't know, but just be aware of that. All right. Hey, have you checked out do you have the new eBay 90 day total on your phone?
I'm not sure. Let me, what makes it new?
So new is now they have it. Now it's disappeared when I'm talking about it right now. But it used to be, you know, it just gives you 90 total and included like your shipping, canceled orders, you know, refunded orders. Well, now they updated it to just having items that were for sure paid and shipped. So canceled orders, refunds are no longer in there. So it's adjusted. And my 90 total is the same as my 90 total on the desktop. And the only reason I bring this up is because we've talked about this multiple times, and I'm glad eBay fixes. My recommendation is that they also have shipping removed. Now, that's going to skew numbers because, you know, obviously people that do free shipping, that's going to be their number. But I think it gives you even a better idea than having to go to reports and having to click. Like, I would just love that information right off the bat. So I think that will play a huge role in no longer people showing their 90-day numbers. I think 90-day numbers can be motivational, but also I believe they don't give the whole story. All right. So this last one, I don't want to land here too long, but it was interesting. The I don't know, what do you call it? The ramifications or the
backlash.
The backlash. And I don't,
what is like backlash of like one or two people? So I wouldn't make it too big.
It was more than one or two. It was several, but it wasn't legit. I don't think it was fair. But I do agree with a lot of the things that some people had said. It's interesting because I loved Wayne's approach.
Now clarify what you're talking about here, so people know.
No, I know. I'm getting there. It's taking a little bit, you know, to get the
you got it. Don't
moving.
Bury the lead, man. Don't bury the lead.
All right. So a lot of people were like, oh, Wayne, you know, he has this following, he has this audience, and that's why he's successful at whatnot. That's why he's successful at reselling. And, you know, he's actually not showing his real numbers and da-da-da. And And I think what happens is whenever people are successful, a lot of people struggle with it, right? Because we're having a hard time, right? And it's hard to see other people successful, right? And so we can look at Wayne in two ways. We can one way go, yeah, we could, you know, we could dismiss him. We could say, no, it's only because he has a huge following. It's only because he's just looking at the gross numbers, or he's only looking at this. And I think there is truth to some of that. If you know, if he was doing that, if he was just showing his gross numbers and, you know, he was only telling us one side of the story. But I get the sense that, and not just the sense, I know, because I've talked to Wayne. I've talked to him off the podcast. That, you know, he is number one, legitimate. And number two, he does show his numbers. He actually just had a post on social media on January about his numbers on Mercari, on eBay, on whatnot, on Poshmark, yeah, and so on.
Yeah. Well, what I would say, you know, just looking at, because I actually, after that interview, went through and watched some of his content, some of his long form, like him out doing sourcing and then him going live afterwards to do like a reveal of like what I purchased. And he's one of the most transparent resellers that I mean, I'm sure there's lots of other resellers that are just as transparent, but of the ones that I've seen, very transparent. And also, even in the interview, you know, he was very transparent with the fact that, because I asked, I said, what does your audience look like? Is it other resellers coming on, or is it your, you know, your fans coming on to buy something from you, or is it people looking for those items? And he was, you know, transparent with the fact that it's both. You know, like in the beginning, you've got to get people over who know who you are, and they're buying because of that, and that gets people in your store. And then the more eyes that you have in your store are on one of your lives, then you start bringing in more of an organic audience as well, who are looking to purchase items. And that's just the nature of that beast. And so fair enough for those who don't want to do whatnot and don't want to put in that grind, you know, that's not for everyone. But again, it's hard to criticize somebody who's successful. I mean, it's an easy thing to do. You know, you look at anybody who's been successful, like maybe an athlete, like, yeah, well, you know, this athlete, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but think about like from the time they were probably in like middle school, elementary school, how many hours they put into working this. And I know for a fact, like the number, the just the sheer number of hours of content that he's put out there. And like I said, I followed some of his TikToks back in the day when he was first starting out, and there's like two people on there and he's live, and I jump in and it's like, oh, hey, look, he's live and he's talking to some people. And how many hours he put in that amount of work before he got that audience. And so is the whatnot model for everyone? No, I think you have to probably have a certain level of charisma. You have to have a certain level of like being okay putting yourself out there and building that audience and eating dirt for months and months basically while you're doing that, not making very much. And so yeah, I think all more power to him. Now, is it easier to criticize like, hey, here's a person who has never resold anything in their life, and then they use their fame like, hey, I'm a famous actor or actress, and oh, and also you can buy this product. And but even that, like they're using their reputation, they're selling their reputation.
I think the landscape has changed. I will say for myself, you know, I have 1,500 followers on my eBay store, and I've never once have said, you know, I've never showed like on a YouTube video like, hey, you can buy this item. I've never done that on Instagram either. Now, do I get DMs all the time when I'm outsourcing like, hey, you know, can we make a deal before you ever list this? And sure, it happens all the time. I get people that buy stuff from me on eBay, and they said, hey, Londo, it's me. I'm a, you know, huge listener to the show. I just wanted to show you some support, so I bought this item. And that's one of the reasons I won't show my numbers. It's because I know there's a lot of people that don't have that following, and it's not a true number of like being a quote unquote true reseller where you have no social media at all. But I do think we're reaching a point now in reselling, at least now, where things are turning the corner, where if you really want to, you know, scale, one of the easier ways to scale is by building a following, whether it be on social media. It doesn't mean that you have to make videos or do a podcast of how to resell or anything. You could just document your journey or, you know, whatever it is. But I do think that is part of reselling now. I don't think there's a clear distinction. If you watch anybody on YouTube, I don't think there's anybody on YouTube that is not in some way benefiting from being on YouTube or making a podcast in their reselling. They could all day say, hey, I'm not running any ads. I'm not, you know, taking any affiliate money. I'm not, you know, because we get knocked for ads all the time. You know, I don't think there's anybody. I think it would be foolish to say that somebody's just recording videos just for the benefit of everybody else. I don't think so, because eventually you do see that, hey, you know what? There's still an opportunity here. So why wouldn't people take that opportunity? So Wayne was, you know, he put in that hustle. He was brilliant. I remember the days, and he was streaming on all four platforms, TikTok, I don't know, on X, on YouTube, on whatever, you name it. And it paid off. And hats to him, he's bigger than we are now when it comes to the social media space, as far as on social media. And so, you know, just think about that and just understand that that's just the reality of where we're at reselling. But I appreciate, you know, the comments below if you want to, you know, share some more and carry this conversation forward. All right. We got to talk about some bolos here.
Let's do it. Bolo.
What's your bolo?
Yeah. All right. We'll make this quick because we're about to go live here. But my bolo is, we've talked in the past about like Skylander games and various games like that, where it's like the, I don't know what they're called. I think Nintendo calls them, you know, Amiibos or whatever.
Yeah, Amiibos.
But anyways, the ones where you put the little figures on the game. And, you know, some of them, Skylanders, you've had some hauls. I've had some that have been successful. But one that can be easily passed up on, because most of them aren't super valuable, are like the Disney Infinity ones. It's a different game. It's not Skylanders, but same concept. And most of them are not great, but I've had a few that have sold really well. I'll just give you one example. The Spider-Man Disney Infinity ones. You find those, they'll sell for, you know, $20 plus every time. And you find a box of Star Wars, or not Star Wars, Marvel Infinity pieces. And most of them might only sell for $2 or $3 a piece, but that one sells for $20, right? Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to look up a few of them that are valuable, because that allows you, sometimes you can cherry pick. If you buy a whole lot of them, great, because then you can make a lot. But maybe you're looking through a box and you're like, oh, how much for just this one, as opposed to buying a bunch that are cheap and off. You know, if you buy a big box and your cost of goods actually goes down, if you're buying a bunch that aren't worth it, so, or up, or I don't, you know what I'm saying. So
no,
look for the ones that are valuable. And yeah, like for instance, the Spider-Man Disney Infinity, it's a valuable one. So don't be afraid to look up the individual prices. It doesn't take long in each of those just to figure out which three or four models tend to sell the best.
Yeah, or you can lot them up. And there's not a lot of money on some of them, but yeah, like you said, there are some that are valuable. Just like Skylanders, even though the market has dropped on those, some of the older ones, there's good money there. So my bolo, I've shared this before, it's been a while, but digital cameras are definitely coming back. And again, I'm not saying the ones that are like, you know, 1 megapixel. I don't know what the lowest one was, but you know, the higher the megapixel, the more chances that they're going to be valuable. But people are really right now in a place where they want something that can't get hacked, something that doesn't need to be saved on a cloud. And so I see a lot of people selling digital cameras. The Canon Alpha is one of them. Some of the Sony CyberShots. And every model is different, so you got to look them up, but definitely check them out. And even if broken, like let's say the lens, like the camera, like comes out, but it won't come back in and it stays stuck, people will still buy those. And I have international buyers right now, and anytime I list them, people will buy them because they'll fix them and they'll just flip them over again. And I'm okay, you know, selling it for 35 instead of 70 if I paid, you know, $2-3 for it. So definitely keep an eye out for digital cameras. I find that more and more stuff like that is going to become more popular over time, because you know, people like the experience of having to go to a party or go to a concert or something, and not always having to post. They just want to have the pictures, and you know, they want to have a place that they go to where it's not going to get lost or hacked or they lose their phone or whatever. So definitely check those out. All right, Mike, what are you looking forward to here?
All right, this one's maybe a little bit more long term, but I have a goal in the next couple of months to do a storage, to bid on a storage. So that's kind of where I'm aiming right now. I've been kind of checking out a few programs that are selling storage units, and then trying to figure out myself where I'm going to put inventory, how I'm going to get inventory out. But I'm kind of interested in doing that and making a video on that. So something I'm looking forward to. What about you?
So there's a few things I'm looking forward to. Number one, I can't wait for this whole flood debacle to be done. I am looking forward to reorganizing even better, so I can make more room for inventory. I had plans on starting Whatnot up again this week, but I just can't. I have stuff all over the house, and it's going to be hard to make a specialized. I want to have a space for Whatnot. It's kind of like listing. If you don't have a space kind of figured out where you're going to list, and you're always doing it in different places, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I want to move the table. I don't know if I want to do that. And I find that's the thing, same thing with Whatnot. So I'm looking forward to getting that going. I do have, you know, clothing that I want to move that I think either people can flip or either, you know, people will enjoy some of the stuff that I'm selling, especially as I said, I'm moving away from clothing. And so that's one thing I'm looking forward to. And overall, you know, I can't wait for this rain to be done so I can go to garage sales and share some stories. But I'm still excited about the thrift lately. It's been really good. It's been enjoyable. I went to one thrift store for 2-3 hours, went to lunch because it was a bigger thrift store that's always busy, went to lunch, came back, and I sourced the same thrift store again, and it was definitely worth it. And I know some people that do that like almost every day. It's kind of wild. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Appreciate all of you tuning in. Make sure, you know, to hit that bell notification so you know when we go live. And as always, if you're not subscribed, subscribe and smash that like button. Thank you, everybody, tuning in. And as always, make sure to be real,
be relevant,
and be reselling.
Peace.